From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Syrian state media blaming Israel for an air raid that hit a military and scientific research installation just outside of Damascus. Israel has not commented on the raid, but if confirmed, it would be the second such strike in 3 days. Rasha Elash in Beirut has more on the story.
The night skies turn into day as red and orange flames lit up the outskirts of Damascus in the early hours on Sunday. Suburban residents say they were startled out of bed around 2 in the morning and couldn't sleep the rest of the night as explosions and the sonic boom of fighter jets rocked the city outskirts. The fire and blasts were particularly fierce in Dimas, where the government keeps military hardware. Anti-government Syria activists say the Assad regime sustained a major setback from the attack, but Syria State TV says the assault was only further proof that Israel is conspiring with Syrian rebels to overthrow the regime. For NPR News, I'm Rasha Elas in Beirut.
President Obama is back at the White House after a 3-day visit to Latin America, his first since winning re-election. NPR's Kerry Khan reports that the president emphasized trade with the region, and security and immigration were also widely discussed during the quick trip.
At a forum at a Costa Rican business school, the president told students that greater economic cooperation between the U.S. and Central America will help the whole region prosper. Obama also told the crowd that he believes immigration reform in the U.S. will make the border safe, facilitate legal crossings, trade, and commerce.
You can't separate out the dangers or challenges or concerns of a border from the enormous opportunities that a well-managed, well-regulated border represents.
High unemployment and drug-related violence is taking a heavy toll on most countries in Central America, particularly Honduras and El Salvador, where immigrants have been leaving in high numbers, headed to the United States. Kerry Khan, NPR News, Mexico City.
President Obama is due to leave for Ohio later this hour. He's speaking at the commencement exercises at Ohio State University in Columbus. The deputy speaker of Britain's lower house of parliament has not been charged, but is strongly denying allegations that he raped a man and sexually assaulted another. Nigel Evans was arrested this weekend and later released on bail. He made this statement today.
Yesterday, I was interviewed by the police concerning two complaints, one of which dates back 4 years, made by two people who are well known to each other and who until yesterday I regarded as friends. The complaints are completely false, and I cannot understand why they have been made, especially as I have continued to socialize with one as recently as last week.
Evans has served in Parliament for 20 years and is one of Britain's most prominent gay lawmakers. And from Washington, this is NPR News. The death toll stemming from last week's collapse of a garment factory building in Bangladesh has now topped 600. Police now say that 610 people have died, but they fear that number will climb further as the recovery continues. The government blames the owners and builders of the 8-story complex, saying they used shoddy building materials. An architect who designed it says it was never intended to handle heavy industrial equipment and that 3 floors were later added illegally. The World Jewish Congress decided to meet in Budapest instead of Jerusalem this year to make a stand against rising anti-Semitism in Europe. As Terry Schultz reports, Hungary's far right turned out and confirmed Jewish leaders' concerns.
Hundreds of members of Hungary's extremist Jobbik party held a rally last night ahead of the World Jewish Congress's opening today. It's being held unusually outside of Jerusalem to highlight the rise of the far right in Europe. Jobbik party speakers accused Jews of trying to buy up property in Hungary to, quote, colonize it in the name of Zionism. More than 500,000 Jews were killed in Hungary during the Holocaust. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban tried to ban the rally, but a court ruled Friday that order was an overreach of police authority. That's a bit ironic because Orban himself is under severe pressure from the European Union for authoritarian decisions his government has made with regard to the independence of the judiciary. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz.
Voters in Malaysia are turning out in droves. They're casting ballots at schools and voting centers today, deciding whether to keep the ruling coalition in power. That coalition has won 12 consecutive general elections since independence from Britain in 1957, but it's facing its toughest challenge ever today. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.